Takiwātanga in his, her, their own time and space.
Being cool. The kids that are in his class that have autism, super cool.
Autism's about a different perspective on life.
And once you've met one autistic person, you've met one autistic person.
There is nothing wrong with having autism, you know. The hardest thing with autism and intellectual disability and that is sometimes accepting it.
They bring change. They are non-judgmental.
Being different ways to thinking.
I'm autistic. If you don't look autistic, it is a very ableist statement.
Autism is a label. Forget the label and just live as normal life as possible. Autism is about hope.
Takiwātanga. Love Not Cure, Exploring Autism, One Strength at a Time.
Watch a presentation conducted by Altogether Autism and Autism NSAID with University of Auckland's researcher Wayne Cutfield about gut microbiome and the impacts of gut bacteria to autism. I'm still new to this topic and hopefully we'll be able to summarize the discussion and be able to share what I think about it. I had an episode last time about gut-brain axis, but was just based on what I've heard, read, and I'm still learning up to this point. And everything I am saying is based on how I understood the topic. Before we proceed, what is gut microbiome? So the gut microbiome is highly dynamic and can vary between individuals. Factors such as diet, genetics, age, and environment can influence the composition and diversity of the gut microbiome. These microorganisms are involved in a wide range of functions, including digestion, metabolism, and gut bacteria aid in the digestion of certain complex carbohydrates that the human body cannot break down on its own. They also produce certain vitamins and short-chain fatty acids through the fermentation of dietary fibers. Immune system regulation, the gut microbiome plays a role in training and modulating the immune system. It helps the immune system in distinguishing between harmless and harmful substances and promotes a balanced immune response. Then protection against pathogens, the presence of beneficial bacteria in the gut help prevent the colonization of harmful pathogens by competing for resources and producing antimicrobial substances. Neurological functions, this emerging research suggests a connection between the gut and microbiome and the central nervous system, influencing aspects of behavior and mental health. This is known as the gut-brain axis, which I mentioned a while ago. So metabolic health, alterations in the gut microbiome, have been associated with conditions such as obesity, diabetes, and metabolic syndrome. Researchers are investigating the potential role of the microbiome in maintaining metabolic health. Further to that presentation, I watched and the research that Wayne is conducting. The gut microbiome is a vast community of microorganisms, predominantly bacteria, which outnumber the cells in our body, and collectively way more than our brain. Viruses are also abundant, influencing bacteria and other life forms in this dynamic ecosystem. Despite previous misconceptions about its significance, our understanding of the gut microbiome's crucial role in the health and wellness has greatly expanded in the past decades. It is now recognized that this complex community plays an essential role in digestion, immune system regulation, protection against pathogens, and even impacts neurological functions, emphasizing its importance in overall well-being. Early research on the gut microbiome often involved studies on mice. In a notable experiment, researchers focused on fraternal twins, one overweight and the other slim. They transferred the gut bacteria from each twin into separate mice to observe the impact. The mouse receiving bacteria from the overweight twin gained weight, while the one getting bacteria from the slim twin remained slender. This led to the intriguing question of what would happen if the gut bacteria from the heavier mouse were combined with those from the slimmer mouse. In the study, they looked at the tiny living things called microbiome in mice. They found out that microbiome from a mouse that's not chubby tends to be the boss over the microbiome of a chubby mouse. when they moved the microbiome from the not chubby mouse to a chubby one, the chubby mouse often became not chubby, which was a big discovery, by the way. This helped them start studying people too. The thing is, what they learn from mice doesn't always mean the same for people. So they have to do more studies with people to really understand how it works in humans. It's like a mice can give them a good idea, but they need to check if it's the same behavior for humans too. Scientists have looked at lots of studies that connect the tiny living things in our stomachs or gut microbiomes to different health problems. They found imbalances or issues in a bunch of conditions like being overweight, diabetes, allergies like asthma and eczema, bowel problems, not eating enough, feeling really sad, autism, Parkinson's disease, I think, and then Alzheimer's disease and many more. So the list is just keeps growing. But it's important to know that just because they find a connection in these studies, it doesn't mean that the stomach bugs cause these problems. It's a bit like seeing two things happening at the same time, but not being able, not being sure if one is causing the other. So they still need to do more research, studies to understand if these stomach bugs are really behind these health issues. The connection between tiny living things in our stomachs and different health problems might not be because of problems people already had. To really understand how these stomach bugs affect our health, they need to do something called clinical trials. These clinical trials help them see if the stomach bugs are really causing the health issues or if they're just there at the same time. So about 5 to 6 years ago, they started something called the gut bugs trial. The goal was to see if putting the tiny living things from really healthy and slim people into the stomachs of teenagers who were overweight and if they could help them lose their weight. So almost 90% of those teenagers, each weighs about 100 to 180 kilograms. They joined the study, they split the groups into two, and one group got the real treatment with the stomach bugs from the healthy donors, and the other group got a fake treatment, or what we call placebo. The group that got the real treatment got the stomach bugs from four different super healthy donors to make sure that there will be a lot of variety of stomach bugs. The trial, the participants went through a process to clean out their intestines to make a room for a group of tiny living things in the stomach called microbiome. And over 2 days, they swallowed a total of about 28 capsules, each with the size of an antibiotic pill. And the microbiome used in this process comes from human poop. They take out the microbial communities from the poop, clean them up, and put them into separate capsules. The capsules don't have any taste or smell. They carefully processed those capsules and made sure that they are safe to be used for that trial. As gross as it is, but all the capsules were look the same. So even the pretend pill and the real capsules, they all look the same. And everyone got the same looking treatment, keeping the study fair. They checked a lot of things in the participants, not just how much weight they had and their body shape at the different times. So 6 weeks, 12 weeks, 26 weeks, that's a check time. And importantly, at a point four of the half of the year or mid-year, they had initial conversation and the new microbiomes were introduced to participants and they successfully took over and flourished. Blah. So furthermore, these microbiomes remained stable and continued to thrive for a duration of 4.5 years. So essentially, these microbiomes were effectively relocated, given a new home, and appeared to adapt quite well to their new environment. So after 6 months, the people who got the microbiome treatment had much better health results compared to those who didn't get one, showing a significant reduction in abdominal fat, the number of people experiencing metabolic syndrome, which is something that we'll be explaining about, was notably lower as well in the treated group. Now, fast forward 4.5 years after the treatment, these individuals still keep up with their health and improvements. They were about 11 kilograms lighter, had slimmer figures with their waistlines reduced by approximately 11 centimeters. They also had much less body fat, especially around their bellies, about a 5% decrease. So importantly, their metabolic syndrome continued to show substantial improvement. What exactly is metabolic syndrome? Metabolic syndrome is like a team of problems that can happen inside our bodies. To have this syndrome, you need to have at least 3 out of 5 things going not so great in your body. This includes having too much sugar in your blood, higher blood pressure, too much belly fat, high levels of something called triglycerides, or having not enough of the good cholesterol. That's what I mean. Having metabolic syndrome can make it more likely for you to get other big health issues like diabetes, heart attacks, stroke, and even passing away too early. But guess what? They found out that a special treatment that only took 2 days, people got really healthier. They lost weight, had less big fat, and their metabolic syndrome got much better. And it's like a short superhero mission for their health. So having metabolic syndrome is a big deal because it's like having a team of health problems inside your body. So for autistic individuals, many of them often have stomach issues, with around 50 to 75% dealing with various problems ranging from mildly annoying to really tough. These problems include trouble with certain foods, feeling sick, constipation, diarrhea, acid reflux, stomach pain, and even food allergies. Scientists have discovered that the team of tiny living things, bacteria, gut microbiome, inside the stomach, known as the, again, gut microbiome, is different in people with autism. And it seems like the bacteria in their stomachs produce special chemicals, and these chemicals go into the stomach, then into the body, and the blood. It's a bit like solving a mystery to understand how these special bacteria might affect the health of people with autism. EPS, they also talked about that, or extracellular polymeric substances. These are special organic materials made by tiny living things, the microbiomes, and these substances help microbiomes interact with their surroundings by creating a protective and sticky structure outside the microbe cells, and kind of like a shield. So scientists discovered that EPS might be connected to feelings of anxiety in people. Recent research suggests that if we prevent EPS, which comes from the bacteria in the stomach, from entering the body, it might help reduce anxiety in individuals with autism. This highlights how crucial the gut microbiome and its components are in causing issues like anxiety for many people with autism. In the study, they are doing this cool thing called a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled trial. There are a bunch of people split into two groups. One gets capsules with a good microbiome treatment, while the other batch or other group gets a placebo, which is like a fake treatment. And what makes it interesting is that nobody, or neither of the people taking the capsules nor the ones giving them, knows which group is getting the real treatment. They made sure that everything about the capsule looks, tastes, smells, and feels exactly the same. This way, it's like a secret test, and nobody knows who's getting the actual treatment and who's getting the pretend one. It makes the study super fair and unbiased. The researchers are aiming to find out if capsules with gut microbiome transfer can help stomach problems, focusing on teenagers and young adults with autism. They're looking for about 100 participants aged 14 to 45 from all over the country. And they are especially interested in people with moderate to severe stomach issues because they believe that treatment could be most effective for them. So if you happen to be listening, if you're 14 to 45, have stomach problems, can swallow capsules like regular antibiotics, and okay with that, simple checkups, feel free to contact them. So the treatment involves a gentle stomach cleanse at the beginning of the day or day zero. In the study, people might experience diarrhea about 6 to 12 hours. It might not feel great, but it's part of the plan to let the new gut microorganisms settle. And then on the first and 10th day, participants take 10 capsules each time. And these capsules have their real gut microbiome supplement or a fake placebo. I think reduced the number of capsules from 20 to 20. And they made the microbiome components more concentrated, make it easier for people to take. So after the treatment, they will stay in touch with the participants for 6 months. There are questionnaires to learn about how their stomachs and overall well-being are doing. So that's the latest that I've heard that's happening around microbiome research that is being led by Wayne from University of Auckland. So hopefully they will have a good understanding about microbiomes and how these microbiomes affect people, children on the autism spectrum. And this will be a good breakthrough in the end. So I remember the first time that I've heard about the microbiome or the gut health is when I was a little boy. I think I was about 8, 9, 10 year old at the time. And whenever I was having challenges or problems with my stomach, like constipation or loose bowel movement, I remember my parents giving me this drink. It's called Yakult. It's a lactobacilli Yakult and has good bacteria in it, like a drink with a good bacteria. So we drink it, and then back then I just moved on after drinking it, and it tastes sweet. And I think you can find some Yakult there, but we're not sponsored by Yakult anyway. So by the way, so I drink and then I moved on and I totally forgot about it. And then I remember when I had a chance to talk to Tina McKenzie in one of the podcast episodes, when we were communicating about tactics or strategies of parents, she mentioned she's currently, she was focusing more on the gut brain axis. So she's reading a book about the gut and the impact of the gut with the brain and the autism. Again, it's just based on how I understood the discussion was. I will link the whole discussion in the description to the YouTube channel of Altogether Autism. So they also have discussed some other aspects as well, not just the gut microbiome, but also some areas about autism, which I intentionally did not include in this episode because we're focusing more on the gut health microbiome. And okay, so I think that's it for now. Right, so I guess that's it. I'll see you again, and thank you for your time. Kapow!
Every tangata fai takiwa tanga is different. If you fail with one strategy, don't stop. Keep moving forward. Always remember that for every failure you encounter is one step closer to your success. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, memuto te fakawa haire. Let's stop judging others. Memahi tahi tato. Let's all work together. Kia maya, kia kaha, be brave and be strong. Thank you.